The Around the NFL Podcast. Plays hacky sack in their Birkenstocks.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast, presented by New Era. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined on a field filled with heroes. Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
It sounds weird to not be wearing a headset and then not being in a studio and be like, wow, you talk too loud, Dan. My grandmother always used to say, you're too loud. And now I get it.
It's you know, when you go to like Radio Row at the Super Bowl, or you go to any sort of NFL event, and there's this lineup of radio show bros sitting at their tables. Now we very suddenly look exactly like that, and I'm not sure that's a positive or a negative.
It's a little more tense because we have, you know, our producer Tim Posey and many others who have helped us with our interviews today at Rams camp, but especially Brassy has given me the side eye because we decided to make a production decision that's going to delay her getting margaritas earlier in the day. So it's it's like I'm feeling that vibe, and it's messing with me a little bit.
Yeah, just a little peek behind the curtain. So we have been granted access to the Rams practice field. We're staring out upon it right now at UC Irvine. It's very cool, and thank you to the Rams for having us. We're going to have some really cool interviews today. Brandon Cooks, Marcus Peters, two of the big new arrivals for the team. Sean McVay, little coach.
Big fish.
And Wes, I know you're excited about talking to Sean McVay. He's like your little man crush.
He's the most fascinating person in the NFL right now.
Little Ndamukong Suh action, potential future Hall of Famer.
And Mark, I know you're not going to spare any details with him. You're going to go after him hard. You're going to say, I have stuff to bring up with you, surface, specifically about Thanksgiving incidents. I think that's where you're going in this interview.
I'm
going
to go deep into the wormhole of his many issues on Thanksgiving, no doubt. What else would I do, Dan?
You have a close relationship with his mom, though, right? So that's a good
bonding
thing.
I spoke to her for 10 minutes last March, so close is the word.
So, yeah, it's very cool here. It is a little interesting because it just seems like it's the entire Rams team and then just the podcast bozos.
That's basically it right
but
now.
It's kind of a cool vibe. And today's show, you're going to hear from those Rams players and the coach, and then we're also going to do the news. And yeah, Brassy is standing behind Mark right now, and she wants the mic.
Scary.
She wants to be on the show. In fact,
she said she wanted on. That's the only reason I keep bringing her
I'm
up.
I'm starting
she wants
to feel
to be part
like
of the show.
And the polarizing audience reaction to the soundbite you played from Brassy, I'm starting to feel like this little campfire party that you guys had last weekend. There was just a lot of a lot of chatter, a lot of trash talk, and I feel like there's a bit of a toxicity to it that maybe is filtering down throughout the operation.
I feel that too, Dan. I'm strongly with you on that viewpoint.
It's all about the magic flame.
That's how we roll, Brassy and I. That's just our relationship.
I also feel like Greg is trying to concoct some sort of deep relationship with Brassy that may not actually be there in real life.
Very interesting. Very interesting. And I did hear through the grapevine that Brassy had some very, very not so nice things to say about David Ealy, the perspective.
This is really taking up a lot of the show.
Best man.
Maybe we'll have to have her on at the end of the show. We'll see at the very end when we say goodbye.
Keep dangling that carrot.
Dangle that carrot. All right, so let's get into it. Before we get to all the Rams players, let's do some news because that's what we're here for. We're a news podcast. Hit it, Tamposi.
Good afternoon, everybody. Hey, this morning, I was standing in the rain, drizzling everything. Today, it's hot as heck here. We're sweating at everything. But what a great time we had at the Jets practice today. Hey, here's the quarterbacks. Josh McCown, exactly what you expect. The veteran guy, knows where to throw with the ball. Leadership, you see all that.
God, I love Charlie Casserly.
He's the best.
I mean, the man has charisma, football knowledge, Super Bowl rings. That's the guy we got to get on the show.
Sort of the aura of an old school detective to him as well.
Yes.
I like everything about him.
Yes. He's like a 1950s television character.
Absolutely.
If we were playing the one word game with Charlie, it'd be hard Scrabble.
All right, you see, the most important person in your organization is your quarterback, and the second most important person in your organization is your backup quarterback, and the third most important person in your organization is your quarterback coach.
That's Greg's best impersonation is Charlie. All right, let's get to the news, and we'll start on the throne of sleaze, where the New England Patriots have signed Eric Decker to a one-year deal. Decker, who's bounced around the league a little bit now, started with the Broncos, went to the Jets, last year with the Titans. Now a Patriot. He joins a depth chart that is dealing with some stuff. You have looming suspension for Julian Edelman. You have injuries. Kenny Britt has a hamstring. Malcolm Mitchell, a knee issue. And, of course, Jordan Matthews, who we talked about on our last show, cut loose after suffering his own hamstring injury. So Eric Decker, Greg, joins the Patriots. And why do I feel that this is going to work out gangbusters for the throne?
I hope you're right. I don't necessarily assume he's going to make the team at all because the Patriots do this every year. This is one of their moves. They throw as many random wide receivers against the wall and see what sticks. Now, when they're loaded at the position, they don't necessarily do it, but this has happened so many times over the years, and very often it's like a Reggie Wayne or certain parts of Dante Stallworth's career. It's like they don't even end up making the team. So we have to see. I would love it because they definitely need the help at wide receiver.
It's amazing how quickly things change in the NFL. I logged in Tuesday and saw that Eric Decker was about to work out for the Patriots, and I thought they have one of the deepest wide receiver cores in the league. And then you think about Edelman's suspension, Julian Matthews tore his hamstring after that, Malcolm Mitchell's knee, Kenny Britt's got a hamstring.
Right, none of them are practicing. They need some people.
In 2 days, all that changed from a deep wide receiver core to Philip Dorsett's going to start.
Plus, Kenny Britt is Kenny Britt, so let's start right there. But I would say, I mean, it also talks about, with the NFL, its relationships, because Josh McDaniels, as we mentioned last show, he's the guy that drafted Eric Decker in Denver.
Ooh.
And he must say to himself and must have told Belichick, look, this guy can – they brought in guys like Ocho Cinco, who notoriously struggled with the playbook even while he was on the field, that maybe they must feel Eric Decker, of all the guys they looked at, he can help
it's
us.
It's so random. They also have Cordarrelle Patterson, who's almost a lock to make the team.
Like, it feels like you just like rolled the dice on every receiver in the league, and here's who the Patriots ended up
with. I really hope Kenny Britt makes the team and is a factor, because I want to get a sponsored segment. Mark makes a derogatory remark about Kenny Britt. Like, I think we can get
that
sponsored.
Well, it will be deserved.
Every show, like, if it's not sponsored, at least have a sound drop for it.
Why is it Kenny Britt's fault that the Browns were stupid enough to give him a huge, big money deal?
That isn't their fault. What he did with it is his fault.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm with Mark on this one.
I'm with you too, Mark.
He's wrong guy to be going around defending Dan.
But I'm also with Dan on
Team
Decker.
Kenny Britt. Any guy that hangs out at Hoboken Car Washes, I'm okay with.
We're in the location where he crashed his golf cart.
Absolutely.
UC Irvine.
Before having a pretty good season.
And just one more note on this signing, which, again, I want to be on the record and out in front of this, is going to be, not only is he going to make the team, Wes, they're going to be singing songs about what a big pickup Eric Decker was.
What'd
come
you say,
December.
71,009?
No, I don't want to go that strong. I will give you 65,906.
This story writes
itself.
That would
itself. Be crazy.
Last year, he's coming off major hip surgery.
And shoulder surgery.
Shoulder surgery. He wasn't ready to be like the old Eric Decker again, but you know, after a year.
Yep.
And he was playing for Mike Mularkey.
Now he's back to where he was.
He came on a little bit at the end of the season, won a playoff game.
Tom Brady's going to be in sync with him.
It's like, I just waved at the mascot, Rampage, by the way.
It's at every single Patriots fan who owned a Danny Amendola jersey like Tamposi can now just buy the Eric Decker jersey if he makes the team.
That's
like, I
true.
Can see the transition.
And one vaguely unsettling tweet from...
You're not wrong.
One vaguely unsettling tweet from Adam Schefter of ESPN, who's their, obviously, chief information man, after reporting the news about 3 hours ago, added this rejoinder, and it's neither here nor there, but is there now a better-looking QB wide receiver combo in the NFL than Tom Brady and Decker? Hey, calm your thirst, Adam.
Whoa. How about Jimmy G to Greg Kittles?
It's not a good sign when Dan is getting on you for saying guys are good looking.
How about Sam Darnold to anyone? That dude's hot. Moving on, the Bengals are moving on from veteran wide receiver Brandon LaFell. Mike Garafolo reported Thursday morning the team would cut the veteran. LaFell spent the past two seasons as the number two guy in Cincinnati, compiled about 1,400 yards on 96 catches, 9 touchdowns. Obviously, Chris Wessling, Cincinnati's offense has been no one's version of Studley in the last two seasons, and LaFell was just another guy in that unit.
Well, the Bengals are doing him a solid here by releasing him early in camp so he can catch on with someone else. as you've pointed out before, Bill Parcells has talked about progress stoppers.
Yes.
An older player who is no longer in his prime is just good enough to go out there and give you acceptable play. And that's what Brandon LaFell is right now. But when you've got young, exciting guys like John Ross, Josh Malone,
Tyler Boyd,
who are all showing promise in camp, it just seemed like the writing was on the wall. Brandon LaFell was not only not going to be in the rotation, but probably wasn't going to be on the team.
And Bill Parcells' guy, Bill Belichick, waved farewell to Brandon LaFell a couple seasons ago.
Nothing has made me more optimistic about the Bengals than this move. It feels like here's the replacement level guy that they've just accepted over the last couple of years, and instead they're making a move that's saying, like, sink or swim. Maybe these young guys don't work, but we got to go for something, because the 6-10, 7-9 Bengals from the last couple of years aren't getting you.
How quickly does he wind up on the Cowboys?
Well,
he would upgrade that team. It wouldn't be a bad move.
They've already got 6 LaFells.
Exactly.
Why not 7?
I know this could never. Come on. This will never happen. But I feel like Cincinnati's a dark horse team of ATL. You know, get behind somebody that no one else is talking about that could be due for a nice little bounce back campaign. But it's all on your shoulders, Wes.
No. I believe in them, but I'm not I'm not getting behind the bench.
Wes always says he's agnostic and he doesn't have a team, but he does have a team. It's the team that's playing the Bengals.
Maybe a little meta to pick the team of ATL with the Dalton scale quarterback under center.
That would be wild. I'm just saying, it'd be kind of
the show would blow up. The show would simply implode at that point.
We might replace Mike Brown as the owners.
moving on. We're following this because he's one of the better safeties of his generation, but it is a very familiar storyline, but we're going to keep it everyone up to date on it. Earl Thomas wrote for the Players Tribune, which is the Derek Jeter gossip rag of record.
The Muckrakers. Jeter's the assistant editor.
Yes.
Durant is like the executive editor, so yes. Like Jeter, he's more of like a big picture, like
Richard Sherman, like a
guy.
Section editor.
Yeah,
Jorge Posada writes headlines. Earl Thomas, on Players Tribune, elaborated on the demands that he posted on Instagram last month, in which he asked the Seahawks to either give him an extension or trade him. He wrote this: I'm asking the Seahawks to do one of two things: offer me an extension or trade me to a team that wants me to be part of their future. And he went on and on and on. So it's very similar. You understand his frustration. You also understand where the Seahawks are as an organization and their unwillingness to give him money when they're in a reworking of their roster. It's a tough situation, Wes.
Well, I feel like the Seahawks, according to what they've done so far, it would be in keeping with their approach just to have a one-word response to Earl Thomas: no. We're not going to pay you or trade you. We're just going to let you dangle on the vine for a while.
I think they'll trade him if they can get a good offer. And
isn't that what they're waiting for?
Now's not the time of year where you get a good offer, so they're just kind of sitting on it. You know, maybe you get it September 1st or even, I don't know, during the season if he's really willing to sit out time.
This one feels like both sides are waiting for the other to flinch.
It just feels to me like from a football-only angle, this is one of the messiest situations in the league right now. And it was 2 months ago, and it's not gotten any better.
It's one of the stories we've talked about so long that I had one take about it initially, and now I've gone all the way to the other take, which is kind of like, well, he is only 29 years old and a Hall of Famer. Like, maybe it's not that crazy to give him another contract. He's a pretty unique person in the history.
We know where NFL Network wants him to go.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I still think that's where he will be in Big D, I think, come week one. That's what I feel.
I'm still thinking about Jorge Posada's, slow march around third base, going to home. There was no slower player than Jorge Posada. If he writes headlines as slow as he ran around the bases, what that would be
two
like.
Two different skill sets.
I like Derek, poking his head out of these executive offices, be like, Jorge, not enough SEO. Okay, boss. Moving on. We don't usually get caught up with training camp practice stats, but let's check in on what's going on with the Chiefs. It's becoming a little bit of a story around that team, the Patrick Mahomes, who was handed the keys to the franchise when the Chiefs traded Alex Smith to Washington earlier this year, earlier this year. And his start to training camp has been bumpy. How bumpy? Per ESPN.com, Mahomes has tossed 7 interceptions in 6 practices. And here's what offensive coordinator, and I did not know this, and I'm not a shame that I need to be more plugged in. I didn't know Eric Bieniemy got the promotion.
Great
OC,
name. One of the great NFL Chiefs, names.
A great kind of middle-of-the-road running back, I remember, in the old days.
He's
the OC. Here's what he had to say about Mahomes' start to camp.
He had a few hiccups today, but that's a part of the process. When you're young, you need those hiccups because they become valuable lessons in life. And so would we like for him to be perfect? Yes, we'd like for him to have the highest rating passer quarterback rating ever, but he just needs to be poised under pressure.
Anything to be worried about, Greg?
I don't know. That's just the answer. I don't know what to make of these stories. Like Mitchell Trubisky, they've been saying is throwing an interception a day at least. And sometimes it is an indicator. It's like I went to Colts camp last year and they couldn't complete a pass. Not that I needed to see that to know Scott Tolzien was going to struggle, but sometimes it is an indicator. But unless you're there, I just feel like it's one of those stories that it's hard to know what it means.
Does anybody believe, and I don't mean just in the podcast, does any football fan believe anything other than Patrick Mahomes will make the Chiefs more fun to watch, they'll probably rack up more yards, and they'll have more losses because he turns the ball over than their MVP candidate last year, who was known for not turning the ball over?
Yeah, and I think with camp especially, where, like Greg, you said it, we're not there, and we don't know what the situation is, but I do find it interesting that when a player shines in camp, we're always saying, oh, no, but listen, it's camp, and it's against guys who aren't in pads, or it's, you know, 7-on-7s. But when they struggle, we attribute all this stuff to it. It's the same thing. They're probably learning, and it's meaningless, and let's get them into real games before we make a real judgment.
Kevin King of the Packers had a good quote to their ESPN reporter, just talking about how some players do get caught up that the reporters are keeping track of the completions and everything. And he's saying, in so many cases, they're working on certain attributes of the game that are their weakest attributes. It's like, hey, let's just work on that today. You're probably going to get smoked by Aaron Rodgers, but that's what you're going to work on today. And that sort of, there's no way to know that context unless you're there.
And the other thing around the Chiefs right now is like the Chiefs can be a worse team this year. They could have a worse record and still have made the right decision to make Patrick Mahomes their quarterback.
Absolutely. And one of the reasons why Mahomes is the starting quarterback and not Alex Smith is because they want a guy who's going to pull the trigger on high-risk, high-reward throws, which results in more interceptions and more big plays.
It was a move for the future, but what makes it especially exciting is that Mahomes has the potential to be great right now. So it's an exciting time for the Chiefs. Mm. But I think you have to have your eyes open as a Chiefs fan that this might be a step back and for a bigger step forward down the line.
He's played one game, so maybe entering into his second game in the NFL, there's still something to work on there.
Eric Bieniemy, by the way.
Product, though. That's my prediction.
Eric Bieniemy, one of the all-time great Chris Berman nicknames, Sleeping with Bieniemy. I mean, that might be number one.
I think it is number one.
Sleeping with Bieniemy.
Well, he's given you a lot to work with the last name to begin with.
A little LA-esque. Got to work on my Berman. moving on. The Tennessee Titans. Ooh, the ACL bug has struck again. Jonathan Cyprian, their starting strong safety, is done for the year. Mike Vrabel, the head coach, confirmed that Cyprian suffered a torn ACL on a non-contact play during Wednesday's practice, and that is a tough situation. Kenny Vaccaro, there's, as we know, and it was an off-season subplot, Mark, that there was a lot of safeties that could play that have not been able to find jobs. So all of a sudden, a job opens up. We hear Kenny Vaccaro is coming for a visit, potentially Eric Reed. Who else was
Mike
it?
Mitchell.
Mike Mitchell. So one of these out-of-work safeties is going to get a gig. Unfortunately, it's at the expense of Jonathan Cyprian.
Yeah, nobody wanted to pay these safeties 3 or 4 months ago, but now there's a critical need for them when your starter goes down.
Yeah, I'm not saying Jonathan Cyprian is chopped liver, but because of the way the free agent market went, there is a scenario where they sign a guy like Kenny Vaccaro when he comes in and plays better than
I'd take
Cyprian.
Eric Reed over Cyprian in a second. And to me, he's very similar strengths and assets. And he's younger and really played well at the end of last year. It's crazy to me Eric Reed doesn't have a job. I know it's partly maybe because he's suing the Bengals right now.
Partly because of his injury history, too.
Partly, but if he didn't kneel with Colin Kaepernick and wasn't so outspoken, there's no doubt in my mind he would have been signed right away. So it's a little crazy.
Well, why is Kenny Vaccaro unsigned? He didn't kneel
with
anyone.
Kenny Vaccaro's hurt, and Kenny Vaccaro was a mess last year. He was the second to lowest ranked safety in PFF, and he's coming off an injury.
Mark, can you hop out of that chair and go tell the man driving the Toro lawnmower that the grass is about a tenth of an inch long and we don't need that background noise right now?
We don't need that. And
we're doing a podcast, sir.
Nobody on the show is more annoyed by general outside sounds than I am. So trust me, it's bugging me.
There have been people driven out of our company for sitting too close to Mark in the newsroom.
Mark's like, had cold wars to get certain people moved across the newsroom, and they usually work.
Believe
like,
me,
you don't want to
they
mess
are effective
with Mark.
Cold wars. Ready? It's not a cold war because something effectively happens at the end of it.
It does. There is a victor.
Brassy,
and it's a
looked,
nuclear
Brassy looked up the
with.
Second we were talking about this. We were
that's
not
how Brassy
about you,
got
Brassy.
Her name, and I gave it to her about 5 years ago because I work these early Saturday shifts, and it's about 5:15 in the morning, and the room is dark and silent, yeah. And there's one individual about 30 yards away from me speaking in a hyper-loud Southern accent, and I'm just saying, who is this person? I got to know her. She's a delight, but
she's still she turned from the
named,
previous
she
night.
She is named Brassy
and,
for a reason.
Finally in the news, a little trope alert.
Trope alert.
Jordy Nelson trope is alert. Moving like he's, quote, trope 28 alert. In training trope camp alert. For the Oakland Raiders.
Trope and Earl alert. Thomas can't get a contract at 29.
Wait, how old is Jordy Nelson?
Jordy, I think, is 33.
Yeah, like 28 didn't even...
What is that telling us?
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
It's just important that you guys know that the Packers made a gargantuan error.
A lot of self-fulfilling prophecies in August where we like to tell you how great our own signing was with these press releases.
People at Raiders camp, for what it's worth, have been talking up Jordy Nelson, and a lot of people it's reporters that are close to the Raiders, including some of, you know, family members that work for NFL Network, like, but they were talking that Jordy Nelson is running by people, so we'll see.
And let
maybe.
Me give a little more context. It's Michael Gelkin, the reporter for the Las Vegas Review Journal, and he admits it, quote, reads like training camp puff, but he is really looking good.
Well, they're so there. We're not there.
Another year removed from ACL.
He's there on the sideline watching, and coaches are saying it, players are saying it, so benefit of the doubt.
All right. That's what's happening in the news. Time to get to it. We have some great interviews set up with some big fish with the Rams. And why don't we start with the head coach, Sean McVay, entering his second season. The first season could not have gone better, so we get into that and more. Let's listen. All right. Today, we get the chance to talk to Sean McVay, head coach of the Los Angeles Rams, a guy who bursted onto the head coaching scene as a superstar in his first year. And now you have to follow that up, and it's always hard to do, isn't it, Sean?
It is, you know, but I think the biggest thing is you feel really confident with the players that we have, with the coaching staff that we're doing this with, and I think there's a humility that our team has. You know, there's a confidence, there's a swagger, but there's a humility to understand that we got to earn it every single day, and we're looking forward to getting going, but we understand that we kind of just have to be where our feet are planted, and that's, you know, doing what we can control today.
Like, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
It seems like the Patriots have an advantage on the entire league because one of the keys to championships is a quarterback with coach-like powers at the line of scrimmage. Yeah. And you seem like you've taken like Malcolm Gladwell's 10,000-hour rule and thrown it out the window with what you're doing at the line of scrimmage with Jared Goff. And you've downplayed that. I've heard defensive coordinators sometimes downplay how much of an advantage. Why should we believe that's not an advantage? Because it seems to me like the best innovation in the NFL right now.
Well, I think there's a lot of guys that utilize it, you know, and it's really, you know, it's exclusive to just being able to talk to the quarterback. It's not necessarily getting the checks, different things like that. Jared and really our quarterbacks as a whole have an ownership on what we're trying to do. And really it's at the discretion of the quarterback. You know, worked with different quarterbacks that like to be able to use, all right, just give me some pointers and stuff all the way till 15, and if I don't need it, I can tune you out. And then there's some guys that say, give me the play and then just let me go operate. And you know, I've worked with both. We happen to work in a situation where we're given information, and Jared, you know, he can tune me out a whole lot, and I'm sure he does a lot. So, yeah. You know, we're doing things that, you know, really a lot of people around this league, you know, just talking to coaches do, and that's if the quarterbacks like to be able to utilize that, but it's not exclusive to just giving plays and different things like that.
It's like that when they're substituting, though, how is that process for you when you're kind of watching who they're substituting, putting into the onto the field, and then you're making the decision how you're going to counter that before the 15 seconds comes up?
Well, really, that's, you know, if we're at the line of scrimmage, there's some different things that we do, Greg, but really, you know, a lot of that comes from up top. You know, what are the personnel groupings that the defense is presenting based on what we're in offensively, what the situation might be if it's a third down, different things like that. So I think there was a lot made of it just because he was mic'd up and you heard some of the cool code words and different things like that, but it's a phase of our offense. But, you know, if you've got 65 to 70 snaps in a game, we might might be at the line of scrimmage for anywhere between 15 and 20 of those, and some of those might be getting some check with me things, but all those are things that the quarterback has command of, and a lot of those decisions are being made really after 15 if you kind of really watch. It just happens to be when the headset cuts off, but he's making a lot of decisions under that 15-second timeline as well.
A lot of people talk about how young you are and talk about the age and how you hit the scene, but with the football acumen and knowledge that kind of blowing people away, your grandfather was a head coach back in the 70s. How did that impact you? I imagine it must have.
Yeah, Mark, it really did. Just being around the game, you know, and I don't think I really realized how much you pick up on until you kind of look back on those times. And, you know, just being around the game, being around the players, that competitive atmosphere that this league provides. And, you know, I feel so fortunate to have gotten the opportunities that I've gotten really as a result of my grandfather's, reputation that he's established in this league, getting a chance to work for great people with the Gruden family, working with the Shanahans, and people that were willing to invest and mentor you and kind of try to help guide you along the way and know that, you know, it's all about the people that you're surrounded with.
My grandfather just used to call me a meatball a lot, which is just,
that's
felt
your legacy.
It hurt, and it sticks with me to this day. This is all interesting stuff, and the grandfather angle, but I also have been hearing
Dan's bored, sorry.
Sean, that there is an incredible taco joint somewhere within the Irvine area. I was wondering, as you as a head coach of the Rams, if you're plugged in on this and if you could tell us where it is.
Well, I don't know if you're referring to a specific one, but we've been to Javier's, which is a great Mexican restaurant around here. They took good care of our staff when we reported to camp. Lots of good drinks, lots of good food. You know, more drinks we had than food. So I don't know if I can help you out there, meatball.
Meatball.
That's awesome. Well, that's good. They don't serve meatballs typically at Mexican restaurants, but
the four of us, we text nonstop. January, April, we've got thousands of texts. Do you have a text chain with a couple head coaches that just go on throughout the year? I mean, I'd love to get in your phone and see what kind of conversations.
He wants to be part of your group text.
I keep in touch with those guys around the league. You know, you keep in touch with Jay Gruden. You know, you talk to some of these other, you know, John when he gets back into it, and, you know, some of the other coaches that you've gotten a chance to get to know over just really the last year and a half or so. And then, you know, I'm always bothering our players with stuff too. They're probably, you know, tired of hearing from me. What, you know, they're like, this guy needs to get a life, and, you know, when it's time to have off, you know, stop thinking about football all the time.
Well, we were talking, you know, before we started, and you're just kind of hoping that there's no injuries so far, 6 days in the camp, like things are going well. I wanted to ask kind of like why is camp so important to you? Like Wes is at the point, and I think this is more the coverage of training camp, where he's kind of done with training camp. Like training camp is the worst month of coverage of the season.
I understand the importance to a team. It's just as important as it's been since the 1940s, but the media coverage has changed so much, and we blow things entirely out of proportion in training camp that mean nothing once the season starts.
So, like, help us cover.
I think really training camp provides a great opportunity to kind of establish what you're going to be as a team, to come together, to figure out, you know, what are the nuances in terms of how you want to operate offensively, defensively, and on special teams. And really, it gets a great opportunity to kind of figure out your personnel, whether there's spots where guys are competing for jobs, different things like that. And then, you know, a big part of it for us, as you continue to kind of educate yourself on the sports science approach, is taking advantage of these walkthroughs where you get around our athletic trainer, Reggie Scott, and our head strength coach, Ted Rath, and you understand that while you do want to push, not at the expense of having guys susceptible to some injuries, and then also making sure they're as fresh as possible for when these games really count, starting in the, you know, the first, second week of September.
Does it feel different? Obviously, you're in a different place as a team. Last year, coming off a tough season. This year, a lot of people are picking you as like a Super Bowl favorite. Does it feel different in terms of your preparation, the coaching staff, where you're coming from personally?
I think the only thing that feels different is really, you know, the comfort level with knowing the people that you're doing it with. You know, we know our players a lot better. There's some continuity on our offense, defensive, and special team systems and how we want to operate. And really, as a staff, we've got good, you know, cohesion in terms of what we want to get done. And, you know, we've had some guys that were elevated when we lost Matt LaFleur and Greg Olsen, where they got coordinator jobs. But I feel really fortunate to go to work with these players, these coaches. And I think just the idea as far as knowing how we want to operate, we can do things a little bit more efficiently. There's a couple things that I know I can do a much better job of in terms of the planning, but as far as the way that we go about practice, different things like that, it's very much the same.
Can you tell us something we don't know about Les Snead? he's been on this show before, and he didn't want to talk too much about it.
Kara gave us information, but Les would not. We could not.
We need some dirt.
Something that you don't know about Les Snead. You know, I would say that One of the things that you don't know that you know don't know about Les Snead, he's a wine connoisseur. Loves a nice glass of wine.
Mm. We can work with that.
That's not
put him
much
in touch with Drew
Bledsoe. But that was you know, we when I first got hired last year, we would go and you know, have a little drink at the end of the night, and Kara would come, and we would you know, kind of get to know each other a little bit, talk about the personnel, and you know, he'd still wake up the next morning with his teeth red. So I'm wondering if he brushed his teeth the next morning.
That's great.
All right, Sean, thank you for joining us. If you want to join us for tacos, that's an option.
You
as
got
well.
Time?
Sounds
Come on.
Good. I got a lot of time.
Shona's gonna get after those margaritas. It's always a good time.
There you go.
All right, Sean McVay.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you, Sean.
Little bit braggy, in my opinion, with knowing everyone's names. I just feel like
that got on your radar very quickly,
shot at
huh?
me because I could never do something like that. I barely remember you guys' names.
He gave you two names, Dan and Wes?
Meatball.
Meatball. He's carrying on the legacy of my grandfather, Baba.
Whenever people do that, I think, like, I could never do that. And, like, oh, that's how he got into this position of leadership. That's what real men do.
Greg, I've seen you forget somebody's name
men.
2 seconds after you've met them.
Oh, yeah. I never pay attention the first time. Like, you have to, it's going to be 2 to 3 times talking to them. They need to make an impression.
It's actually a sign. I've heard about that because I'm a little self-conscious about it, because people say it's like a sign of being just completely self-obsessed and not be able to remember other people's names.
Sounds about right.
But it's just hard.
No, but I think the first point is accurate. Not that anyone is self-obsessed, but it's that in that moment, you're only focused on, how do I look? How do I sound? And then the 4 names have gone by and you have no concept of what's
right.
happened.
Right, or you're not, in my case, you're not thinking about anything to do with that person or yourself. You're thinking about something totally.
Well, you're a nihilist, so that would be
you're just in another space. Maybe that's not how
other
people
work.
What
you thinking about what you want to say next?
This,
in other news.
More lawnmower action.
You're thinking about lunch.
So McVay, obviously, exactly the guy. Mark, I said you have to talk to the Toro
when
guy.
When is the last time anyone here cut a lawn? I want an honest answer.
I cut a lawn last summer at my parents' house.
You have to
helped
be the winner.
The old man.
Me about 1991.
Either senior year of high school or the summer after that. Probably the summer after that. That would be
it's been at least 10 years.
I was gifted at it. In fact, I was known by family members as Danny Doublecut. Because some people...
Stop.
Yes. Some people will just go up and... I'm sure that's what you guys did.
No.
Would go up and down just one row at a time. And just knock it out as fast as possible. I would always go up the row and then back down the row to make sure there was no mulch left behind. Because if you leave behind mulch, you're sloppy.
I take offense to that. I would circle first around the entire lawn twice. Two
I
or
like
three
that.
Times. So there would
a
be
perimeter
a
trim.
A perimeter. And then I'd go back and forth on the inside, then collect all the trimmings. Mm. And then maybe go throw them in the forest so they wouldn't be seen from the house.
I would combine it with wool gathering.
The forest stuff?
Wool gathering?
Yeah, just, you know, make some designs in the grass.
The first job I ever got fired from was mowing a lawn when I was like 11 or 12 years old.
Why did you get fired?
I don't know. I must have done a terrible job.
But McVay was more or less exactly kind of who I expect. He's super confident, obviously very sharp. So he knows the names. And a man completely in control of his own destiny, and he knows it.
Also, still what I've noticed, still unwilling to say anything that will shine a positive light on himself. He's not willing to go there, and he's not willing to say anything that doesn't give his quarterback a ton of credit.
It's good to be Sean McVay, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's great.
All right, moving on. Now we're going to get into conversations with three. This offseason, what took the hype to the next level is that the Rams did not stand pat, and it's easy to respect that because they could have. And instead, they made some big moves, and we're going to go talk to three guys that have joined the team, and we expect to make a big impact. Let's start with new wide receiver Brandon Cooks, and then you're going to hear from the brand-new cornerback, Marcus Peters. Let's get to it. Now joining us, wide receiver of the Rams, Brandon Cooks. Last time we saw Brandon, he was on the field at the Super Bowl. Now he's in L.A., playing for the most high-profile team, arguably in the NFC, after time with the Patriots. So you're always in the mix, Brandon.
No, I guess so. I like it.
It's good. Yeah, it must be like playing, we call it, or I call it on our podcast, playing for the Patriots is the throne of ease. because it just seems everything comes easily. That's just I'm a bitter Jets fan. But with the Rams, with the Rams, it feels like everything is in such a good spot right now for success, and you feel like a missing piece or a final piece type guy for them.
You know, I think they were doing so many great things last year, and what we're building so far at this camp has been great. You know, the beautiful thing is we have such a long way to go, a lot more practices left, you know, just take them one day at a time, let everything else take care of itself.
I feel like playing for the Patriots, the first, like, word that comes to mind, like, would not be easy. Like,
no.
Ease. Was that easy? No. Was that an easy experience?
I don't think playing football is an easy experience in general. You know, playing for Coach Belichick was great. Not an easy process, but definitely well worth it. You learn a lot when you're over there. And so a ton of respect for what they got going on.
Well, there was kind of an off-season trend, too, with certain guys dragging the Patriots, saying Belichick and not fun to play for. Mm-hmm. That became kind of like a trend this offseason. What were your thoughts on that?
I mean, everyone has their personal experience. You know, my experience was awesome. Yeah. You know, it's a special place. You know, they got special people from the owner and to, you know, to the coaching staff, to the players. So I had a wonderful time, and there's nothing negative I can say coming out of there.
I mean, you've been with Sean Payton and Bill Belichick.
Yes, yeah.
And now you're with McVay. Do you see any sort of shared DNA between McVay and these other two coaches?
I think just the hunger to put in the work on their end to be able to put us in our best position to win games. I see it from all three of these guys. You know, Coach McVay does it so well. He brings so much energy, just like the other ones do, just in his own way, which I think is awesome.
What about the two quarterbacks you've been with?
Yeah.
Breeze, yeah. Brady, and now you're with Jared Goff. Yes. Where is Goff compared to those guys?
You know, Goff is obviously trending in that direction. You know, he had an awesome year last year, and then what he's been doing out throughout this spring and throughout this training camp, you know, he's doing great things. And with that being said, you know, I can't wait to be able to suit up on Sundays and get going with this guy.
You bounced around the last 3 years to three different places, but to me, like, it says something about you that three of the best minds in football want you on their team. Like Sean Payton, you know, Belichick, and Josh McDaniels, one of the best offensive coaches, and now Sean McVay. Does it, like, do you feel good about that? Like, there's so many smart coaches, like, want what you got?
I mean, you know, I look at it and you know, I'm very thankful. At the end of the day, you know, so many people can take the negative from it. But I think that it's been such a blessing to play with two great coaches and now playing for another third. All that's doing is just helping my career and making me become a better player so I can, you know, be the best teammate that I can be.
Who's going to have more yards this year, you or Robert?
I don't get into that.
We heard you were a routine guy. So you wanted to do this interview kind of right as you're coming off. practice.
Well, you didn't want to do the interview.
Right. You probably didn't want to.
You
probably didn't want to at all. That's
guys,
what I'm getting.
You guys are fine.
So what does that mean to be a routine guy, and are you upset with us for messing up your routine?
No, I'm not upset at all. You know, you got to be able to improvise. So just for me, I just like to, you know, certain times I like to take care of my body, especially, you know, before practice. I want to get food in me. You know, just little things like that, trying to be the best pro that I can be so I can be healthy.
Is it a career high point to be on this show? You've been in the Super Bowl. You've had a lot of great moments, but now you're here.
I'm here. That's up there. I will say that.
Okay.
Hanging out with you guys is up there.
Do you listen to podcasts?
Yes, I do.
Besides
I do.
Ours.
What do you listen
besides
to?
Besides you guys. No, but usually I just more so listen to Pastor Brian Lewis. My faith is a lot to me.
Cool.
Everything to me. So I usually like driving in the morning and listen to podcasts to get my day started, positive messages, things
and
like that.
And last question.
Give us a shot. You know?
Yeah.
No, tomorrow. Just give it a shot.
More so going home from practice. How about
there you
that?
Go.
Last question. Where can we get a good taco in Irvine?
You know, I don't know, but
can't get a solid answer.
Go to Nobu Malibu. They got some good.
Okay, well, you're not wrong about that.
There you go.
A little above our pay grade.
Sorry.
Okay.
Nobu.
We'll save up for it.
Yeah. You'll be able to do it.
Brandon Cooks, best of luck this
thank
year.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Brandon.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
We have Marcus Peters, new cornerback for the Los Angeles Rams. As you were coming to meet with us, a Chiefs fan behind the scenes, Ryan said, I can't believe we let a Hall of Famer out the door.
Yeah, I'm gone now, so I don't
so there's it's the over. There's what you're leaving behind, mm-hmm. Kansas City.
You don't seem too sad about it.
No, I left with 19 picks, a couple of forced fumbles, a couple of touchdowns, and we had a lot of fun out there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's time to move on.
But you don't disagree with the Hall of Fame respect he's given you.
Nah, man. So you got to just keep working, and then all that stuff will come on down the line for my peers and stuff who like my game and stuff. But as of right now, just keep working and keep grinding.
You know, you lead the league in picks since you entered the league, mm-hmm. and Aqib Talib, since he entered the league, also enters picks. Is this the best cornerback duo in the NFL right now?
We gonna see, man. We gonna, as we get into this week two of camp, and we just keep building, and then by the time we get ready to play the Raiders on September 10th, Monday Night Football, we gonna find out.
What do you think about Wade Phillips?
He an OG, man. I keep saying that now, but it's really true, man. He's so laid back. He trusts his players to go out there and do everything that he's asking for us to do, and that's play fast, play physical, and just do our job.
You go from Andy Reid, who's one of the best offensive minds of the last two decades, to Sean McVay, who's already one of the best offensive minds in football. Do you see, just in the short time you've been with Sean, like, do you see something that makes him special?
Everything that he does, the way that he prepares, the way that he's so competitive on all tools of him wanting us to be on our toes of defense, of us to be sound on special teams, and then how he's coming out with all his unique looks and his unique snap counts and stuff like that on the offensive side. It's all unique, man. So, yeah, he's going to be a great coach in this league for a long time.
How about just the difference, like, in vibe? But they're both great coaches. They both run their teams a certain way. Like, what's the difference?
It
like,
ain't
in
nothing
vibe
like California, man.
Yeah,
it ain't nothing like California. So, but nah, man, Big Red kind of he held his ball club in the old school ways, I should say, of how he was getting down with things. But like I say, it's nothing like California, man. I think Coach Sean he fits perfect with the California weather, the California vibe. He's a young coach, man. You know, he got his player ways.
What about for you? I mean, Kansas City, and no disrespect, Ryan, seems like a nice place, but L.A. is a lot. How big was that, like, coming to L.A. and for you, like, changing that type, the lifestyle like that?
I'm 50 minutes away from home on a flight, five-and-a-half-hour drive to go home, and it allows for my family to come see me play a lot more ball. You know, we still play in the Bay Area, you know, with me transferring from playing against Oakland every year. I go within playing against the San Francisco 49ers. Now my family still get to come see me play in Santa Clara and just close to my family.
And what's it like being the new guy? So you're obviously a high-profile guy, but is it nerve-wracking when – and maybe you know a lot of players on the Rams even before you got here, but what's it like being
I don't feel like you get nerve-wracked too often.
No, I think the best thing about this
anxiety.
I think the best thing about this whole situation is that I came in right when we was getting ready for OTAs and all those things. So it allowed for me to be around my teammates and stuff and just to gel with them and see. I played with Corey Littleton in college and stuff. I knew Ty for a little bit over Pro Bowls and just having conversations and stuff like that. And everything else, I know Jared from back at home and stuff and playing against him. But everything else, you just take it as a learning experience. You come in, you just be yourself, and then it's going to all get to gelling as we go through these processes of OTAs, mini camp, and now training camp.
You have to go back to almost the 94 Niners to find a team that in the offseason attacked free agency and trades to bring in players. They brought in, like, Deion Sanders back then. And you guys, the Rams, really are the team that did that this offseason. It was a distinct difference. The way some teams build, is it really in-house? Is it sort of Super Bowl or bust for the Rams this season?
No, I think it's week-to-week bust.
Week-to-week
bust? Yeah, we're going to prepare week-to-week and see if we bust it that week or not. And then we continue to grow each week, and then we see where we fall at the end of the 17 weeks of regular season. And then if we get to playoffs, we just keep playing our ball.
That's got to be a little bit different, going from the Chiefs where you were a perennial playoff contender but didn't get as much, like, media attention or love, to now everybody's picking you to do great things. What's the difference between, like, the high expectations now versus where the Chiefs were?
I don't see no difference, because I think everybody there's only one champ in this league right now, and that's the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, until we open up week one, you know, and then once we open up week one, everybody on a clean slate of us playing ball, and you go out there and you put your best foot forward each week, and then you see where you fall at the end of the season.
Who talks more, you or Aqib?
Man, we kind of – I don't know. To be honest, I think we chill, man. You feel
okay.
me?
Okay. What about your wide receivers?
I think they chill too, man, with Cooper, Brandon, and Rob. I think they all chill, man. They all soft-spoken and stuff. And just I think they all just have the same mentality of, let's just go in and work and see what we can fall at the end of this.
Wade talks. Yeah, he's not afraid to talk about it.
But that's what I'm saying. He the OG, man. So he didn't seen a lot of game, been coaching this game 40 plus years. Now you gotta listen.
I saw him wearing a Fortnite shirt. Is that a big thing with the team?
Yeah, he said that his grandson, he got a 6-year-old grandson, so he said he watches his grandson play the game a lot. I asked him, did he get down? But I don't know how to play Fortnite, so if he was getting down, man, that'd be something.
Is it huge with the players in general?
I think that's the new thing that's popping around around the world right now is Fortnite. You can do so much, with all of the new age dance moves and all that stuff. You know,
it's just what about Super Mario Brothers? Is that still big?
Yeah, I mean, I stick to Madden and stuff like that. You know, I play the regular games of what was
like
topical. When
like we're at UC Irvine, you're in a dorm room right now. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you guys getting into in the dorm?
I'm watching my computer on FaceTime with my son until I can come see him the day at practice and just enjoy my time here.
So there's no, like, raging keggers or anything?
Nah, man. Nah, man. Nothing like that, man.
Does Wade ever talk about his dad, tell stories about him?
Not as much, you know, but, it's all about – he tells the stories about how he grew for the love of football and why he's been doing it for so long. And you can always relate to all those tools back to him, just his dad being a football coach and stuff. So you can just see the similarities.
Last question, Marcus. We're grinding here, podcast dudes grinding in the sun. Afterwards, we're looking for a good taco spot in Irvine. Mm. Do you have any knowledge on this?
I haven't been to a taco spot out here. It's a great food place called Eureka over here.
Eureka. Okay.
Yeah, they have some great wings and some great hamburgers and stuff. You can kind of mix and match it, whatever you want.
Mark's a vegetarian. What about?
I'll just walk.
We can't bring him anywhere.
Get some lettuce. I'll get a lettuce burger.
Nice stuff, and then we make it happen.
Thank you. That works.
All right, best of luck this season.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
Thanks, Marcus.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Good to meet you.
We cannot get a good taco read. Where are we going to go?
You get the sense that they've really kept them maybe hemmed in on the campus versus allowing them to flitter into the Los Angeles night till 2 or 3 in the morning during training camp.
We can try Javier's.
We can. So you heard from both Cooks and Peters there. Marcus Peters, that dude has a lot of confidence, by the way.
Yes.
Talk about Sean McVay. Marcus Peters is completely comfortable, and he's, I think, very happy to be playing in a new
place. You get the sense that pro athletes in general are confident. This is new to me.
No, but some guys.
No, you're
just
right.
The next level.
The way he carries himself, he's the type of confidence where he doesn't even need to talk. As he said, he just the way that he kind of enters, like everyone knows.
I did want to ask him why he threw his gloves into
the crowd.
I
so wanted to ask
that. At the Jets game last year. And then walked to the locker room and then came back with his shoes off. That was an incredible
scene.
That's
how interviews go south, but it would have been
fantastic.
But I'm sure
he's probably moved on from that chapter of his career. All right, finally, we're going to hear from one of the most gifted, talented, notorious defenders of the last 10, 12 years in the NFL. He is the new defensive tackle for the Rams, Ndamukong Suh. All right, a ton of hype around the Rams this year, and one of the reasons is the man sitting next to Mark. Mark, not quite as big as the man next to you. Ndamukong Suh, welcome to the Around the NFL podcast. You spent so many years in Detroit, then Miami, maybe never got a deep January run during those years.
Yep.
All of a sudden now, you have a real chance with a top NFC contender. How exciting is that?
Got a lot of talent on this team. Very excited. One of the attributes of me wanting to come here, a team that obviously showed a lot of promise in the previous year that they had, and just coming back with a young group, young core guys, especially a quarterback that has grown tremendously under Coach McVay, and a strong offensive line that I wanted to practice against every single day. So I'm excited about it, but we've got a lot of work ahead of us.
There's kind of like an iconic now already, or soon will be, if the Rams go all the way and they do the Football Life Super Bowl champion. The dinner at Nobu, where you were wined and dined to be brought to L.A., was that a part of the conversation? Like, you're a guy that's a Hall of Fame candidate-type player that maybe a deep playoff run is the last thing you need to kind of go over the top and have the gold jacket?
I've said it before, without question. The gold jacket is something that I aspire to have. I think all the greats and the special thing about it is being able to go with Charlie Sanders and see his bust before he unfortunately passed a couple years ago was special for me when I was in Detroit. So to be able to do that, he was a winner, not only as a player, but as a coach and a mentor to me. And that's one thing that I want to accomplish is being able to do some things special as a unit, as a team, and a defense. And that's obviously one of my big goals.
You just came off the field.
Yes, sir.
Practice in the Irvine sun. How are you feeling about us keeping you in the sun a little longer?
I don't mind it. It can beat the Miami Heat any day.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, because we're wimps. There was a lot of, like, whenever we could take shade at all today,
tent.
And you're there with the full, like, uniform. How are you feeling after a couple hours like that?
It's not bad at all. I mean, honestly, the wind's blowing. It's only probably, like, 85 degrees. I'm used to 100, 105 especially. So it's not bad. Not bad
I would
at all.
Put this, like, in the top 10 most challenging days of my life.
But you're also like pushing 300 pound men, you know, in play after play. I would think
he's
that
tougher
would get
than
tiring.
Us. I think we got it.
I was definitely built for it. So
I'm a professional athlete.
I blocked those things out. But no, it's definitely a grueling and a grind. That's part of camp. We all understand that. So as going into my ninth year, it's something that I don't really even focus on anymore. It's about getting better and trying to find things that I can craft and be prepared for the season.
I had a chance last year for a Mother's Day piece to interview your mom, Bernadette.
Okay.
And I said, just describe to me what Ndamukong Suh was like as a child. And she said he was a very cuddly boy who loved his Legos. Is that still the case?
Still very cuddly. I got away from the Legos and Kinects as my mom. I begged her and begged her for Christmas gifts all the time with that stuff. But not without question. People see me on the football field and think that's my personality offside, outside when it's totally opposite. I love being around my friends and family, spending time, having fun, laughing, and just really enjoying life. Definitely in a special position to play the game that I love in a sport that's tremendously has a great platform, but you soak it up and have fun with your friends and family at the end of the day.
I know that also you were a shot put champion. I did shot put in high school.
Okay.
Wow. And I keep on seeing the comparison.
Were you a spinner or a glider?
Yeah. I don't even remember what the term was because I was not long for the team, but would I intimidate you if we were to line up out there and have a kind of a contest there? Do you feel like you could take me
I
down?
I have no doubt. I'm ready to go.
we'll hold off on that.
That's an honest answer. I mean, he's kind but he has no doubt.
Now you're getting to competitive stuff. You're going to get my juices flowing.
We had Marcus Peters earlier, and we asked him about Wade Phillips, and he said he's the OG. Is he unlike any coach you've had before?
Oh, without question. He's got a ton of experience, and obviously it's a wealth of knowledge that I can grasp many things from. I mean, the other day when we were in OTAs, had the opportunity to talk with him, which is he's a man of many few words. So being able to sit down with him and have that conversation, especially around Reggie White, one of the greats to ever play the game, was something special for sure.
Yeah.
Have you thought at all about week three this season? You might be going up against the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. Sam Bradford was the number one draft pick of your draft by this team, the Rams. Like, would that be a special guy to go after?
I always mark the calendar when I have Sam Bradford on there, no matter what. Whether it was when we're rookies and when he was in St. Louis or when he was any other place, I've always looked forward to going against him. And
is that completely because of the 1-2
No
position?
Question, without question.
So if it was the other way around, you'd be all cool with Sam Bradford?
No, he's a quarterback at the end of the day, so I want to get after a quarterback no matter what.
So have you sacked him? Have you gotten some hits on him over the years?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've gotten a pick off of him, sacked him a couple times, so I hope to just continue to win in the winning column.
Do you, like, let him know a little extra than you would another quarterback?
I'm not much of a talker, but, I mean, I'll definitely try and hit him hard as I can.
That's awesome.
We also, this has been an ongoing quest while we've been here in Irvine. We're trying to find a really good taco place.
Okay.
Anything, can you share anything for
us? I have not been off of campus, to be honest with you. I've been staying here on campus nonstop, and I wish I knew. I'd go check it out myself if you had any suggestions.
We do.
We've heard these dorm rooms are pretty Spartan.
Yeah, college wasn't the best living situation, but like we said, it's a part of camp, it's part of the grind, and you get used to it.
Is this your first camp you've been in, like where you're in a dorm, that sort of situation?
Yeah, it is. Detroit, we were at home or in a hotel nearby the facility that we stayed at, and same thing with Miami, same situation. But yeah, this was the first time coming to a dormitory, to say the least.
It's no joke. You mentioned, like, you're looking for little things to improve.
Uh-huh.
What are some of the things this year, because you're in a little bit of a different role?
Yeah.
Like, what are those things you're looking for?
It's a handful of things. Really, it was during OTAs and minicamp was figuring out the defense and understanding where I was going to be positioned in it. And then kind of moving forward, coming into camp, it's figuring out the nuances to play with Brockers and Smarty and all the other guys that are on the defensive line. So it's a matter of just coming together as a unit, getting a feel for each other. And over the last probably couple weeks now that we've been in here, we've been starting to just get a good flow, especially in the pass rush game, which is a very important piece. You always got to get the quarterback down.
And last question, you've been in the league a while now. Part of the reason you've come here is to get over the hump, win a Super Bowl. Like, do you see yourself playing in the league for many more years? Could you win a Super Bowl and walk away? Like, where are you in terms of where you see your career at this point?
It's funny. John Sullivan actually asked me that earlier today. How many more years I figured to play, but I honestly haven't really thought deeply about it. I think personally, if I choose to, I could play another 5-6 years. But ultimate goal is to win, and my goal is always to get to 10 years. So it's this year and the following year, and kind of go from there and make a decision. It's really about, I want to have a family, so I got to look at those different pieces as well. It's not easy being in the league and having a girlfriend and managing the time, because as we know, all athletes are pretty much,
you got to do the Derek Jeter thing
to some extent. So
Jeter mastered first. That. You play till you're like 40, and then you settle down
It's some decisions that are going to come up over the next couple of years.
Cool. Yeah. Excellent. Well, best of luck to you this season.
Thank you.
Ndamukong Suh.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ndamukong.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
You know, we heard that Ndamukong would be maybe quiet or we'd get clipped answers, but I found him engaging and wonderful.
He seems like a thoughtful guy.
I think that's a credit to our podcast and our ability to get athletes to open up a little
draw
bit.
Draw water from a stone.
Also a credit to the person that wiped all the sweat off of his chair after he got up, because it was like a lake. There's a lot going on.
Hey, he just got off the practice field. And that was the other thing. I was nervous. So here he gives short answers. The reputation coming off a practice field where he just practiced for 3 hours. Nah, he's all cool.
Couldn't have been more genial.
And I've always thought, and people have been around him, that he's one of the more intelligent players. That's a big reason of why he's gotten to where he is his smarts. And
across.
You can see
it. And he did speak. He was speaking kind of passionately about how important it is, I think, to get to the next step in terms of being a championship player.
I thought you were going to say he was speaking really passionately about how bad he wants to get to Sam Bradford.
That's what I was thinking.
Maybe like, not as much as that.
I'm totally locked into that week three game now, because I just want to see him like take Bradford's head off. Like, that would not be as genial as he was. Like, is there any player you would want to you would want less after you than Ndamukong?
Oh my God! Yeah,
I feel like Sam Bradford's been through a lot.
That's true.
All right, so that was fun. We should do this.
Good day.
Again.
We do it tomorrow.
We had fun. And by the way, as you heard, fail time and time again to pump these players and the head coach for information on a good taco if you're in the OC, Orange County, Irvine. Well, guess what? Greg had a source, triple source possibly, to go to a taco place that we went to for lunch.
A loyal listener of the show, shout out to Adam.
Shout out to Adam, a place called Puesto here in Irvine. Look it up. And if you are ever in this area, you got to go. One of the best tacos, if not the best taco I've ever had.
I looked up at one point because you said, no, this is really emotional for me.
Thank you,
Adam. That was the best taco I've ever had.
Imagine something being called a filet mignon taco and then it living up to the best possible reality of what it could
be. So good.
Anyway, so there
Mark,
you go.
Mark, what were your thoughts on it?
What a delightful place.
And the margaritas were good, too. Not that we imbibe too heavily. We're professionals.
We do got it. I do want to go out. We got to do this more. Jared Goff throws a pretty football. Like, you can't get that from home.
Oh, no. Greg's got the Jones again.
It was pretty.
He's got the football Jones.
I'm just saying.
It is also a bit of a weird juxtaposition. First having Ndamukong Suh and then later Andrew Whitworth, who we'll get to in a second, sitting next to Mark Sessler. Also weird to be having the greatest taco of my life next to a man on a full juice cleanse, Mark said.
Yeah, listen, I'm not pretending to be an NFL player in training camp right now. I'm just doing this job.
I gotcha. All right, now, you heard from the players, the coaches. There's more that you will be able to see on social media, on NFL.com/ATN video. We had interviews also with star left tackle Andrew Whitworth and wide receiver Robert Woods, who's a big fan of Sour Patch Kids. Always interested when grown men are super into candy.
He's only
check
into
those
the
out.
Tart stuff, it seems.
Yes, and I get that. But we'll be back on Monday, back in the studio. So it was great being here again. Thanks to the Rams for having us. They were more than accommodating. And Brassy, she's ready.
I feel like we should get her. Come on, Brassy. At least – at least say hello to the listeners. This is your chance.
It's been a fun day, guys.
You were brassy at lunch, that's for sure.
I mean, listen.
You can't get stage fright now.
Greg's got love for me now, so maybe I'll make more appearances.
We've been going. It's been a long day for
this
Brassy.
Segment is gangbusters so far.
we did just, you know, surprise her here.
You know, even Dan's warming up to having me on.
She had a theory maybe. That Dan was a little worried that she was going to steal all the Dan's shine and kind of steal like the show.
Listen,
but it hasn't happened in so
not
far.
Not yet, but I know there's going to be someone back at the office really sour about this.
Ooh, a little Ely shot potentially.
You know, I didn't say any names.
All right, Brassy, thanks for your help as well. There she
thanks,
goes.
Brassy.
All right, time to end. Loose Cannon, I see you helping out.
Tim Posey, long day. We love you.
Ryan Bartlett.
Ryan Bartlett, thank you. Thank you to everybody, and thank you
Cam
to the listeners.
Cam the intern.
Yes. Until Monday, this is Dan Hansa signing off for Quiet Storm, the mailman, the old boss. Oh, yeah, the Loose Cannon on the field. Till Monday.